We're glad you're with us today. Every week we say it, we mean it. You're here by, not by mistake, you're here by design. God had a reason for you being here. And we're glad you're here. We've had a great first service. It's interesting because the dynamics of the service has changed. And that puts us, you know, you prepare for a service. And in that service, as I try to read and follow just where the service is going, last service ended up changing the message completely right before I walked up and told Marva, Marva, we'll probably go, well, as much as I can with the last message. We won't go back to where we're at. So just so you need to make any adjustments within that. But the whole service structure, and you want to be sensitive to the Spirit of God and leading you in what he's telling you to do. One announcement, Cassie, Miss Cassie here, right? Hi, wait, Cassie. She sang this morning beautifully. She leaves this week for a missions to Mexico trip. So I want you to pray for her. I also want you in that process to keep her in praying for her. Hug her before she leaves this day. She's going to Redondo, Mexico. Pray for the houses that they're going to be building. Pray for safety. They're going to have that. They're going to have some issues there. But really, I want you to encourage her and just pray that God meets all the needs that she has to get there, all the financial issues and all that. So just pray for Cassie as she leaves, and she's going to be with us, be away from us for a while here for a week or so. And so I just want you to make sure you get out, hug her before you get out here and let her know that you're praying for her. Man, today is April Fool's Day, and Ben, that wasn't April Fool's, that was a nightmare. Don and Greg and Chuck and, you know, those guys singing a barbershop, woo, nobody get their hair cut ever again. However, I got to tell you, I had this little plan today. Because you know me, I'm pretty serious about life, right? Yeah. And I had this plan that I was going to get up in the second service, and I had this thing that I was going to read. But wiser lives prevailed, because I finally shared it that I had planned to do this. And wiser lives said, you know what, you may not get the desired response that you want. Because in the second service, I was with full anticipation going to come and read a resignation letter. Yeah. And then I had it all set. I mean, I had it written, and then I was going to tell you that I've taken a position as an innkeeper at a cat hotel taking care of kittens. But the problem was is that the wise heads said, you know what? You may not get the desired response. They may stand up and cheer for you. So I decided not to do that April Fool's, but it was in my heart to make some of your hearts drop, and some of you, either way, you'd have been thrilled. I mean, either you'd have been thrilled that I'm leaving, or you'd have been, you know, decimated that I'm leaving, whatever, but at least you'd have had some emotion this morning, you know, in that process. All right. We've been talking about the church, and as I came even today and changed it in the first service, it's Palm Sunday. And as we come to Palm Sunday, we don't have the same attitude today as they had when he came in. It's interesting how service has changed even from one service to the next. The first service had a totally different feel than this service. A band members probably saw that. A choir members, I'm sure, saw that, didn't you not? A totally different feel. There was just a service, last service was a service of great need in the room. You could feel it. It was palpable. You could feel it. And so we changed, and the needs that were there, and there's needs in this room, I'm sure, the same as because you came, and there's going to be needs in your heart and life. And Palm Sunday, as they came into the city, you know, everybody was laying down palm branches, and they were doing all the things. They had all the symbols down. They had everything down. But Jesus stopped and wept over the city. He wept over the city. And in the first service, I asked Marva to bring up Luke chapter 19, verses 41 to 44, and this is what we read. As he approached Jerusalem and he saw the city, he wept over it and said, if you, even you, this morning, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace this day, but now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone upon another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you. They had the palm branches going. They were shouting, Hosanna, Hosanna, all in the highest. 5 days it took from going from, here's this, man, commemoration, here's this big challenge, here's this great coronation, and 5 days later, they're going to be condemning him. 5 days. In this whole thing, it said there were some things, if you had only known, if you had only known the peace that you, even you, on this very day, if you had only known. Man, aren't those sad words in some sense? If you had only known. Have you ever used those words? Oh, if I'd only known. If I only known that what was going on in your life, if I had only known. And we say, man, if I'd only known, I'd have done this. I may have done this different. And then sometimes people can say, if they only knew, and you may be sitting here this morning in the service saying, oh, I'm here, and I got the mask on, and I got the face on, and I got my little white angelic halo going. But if they only knew. Some of you may be sitting there saying, I want them to know what's going on in my life, but I just can't bring myself to telling them. And Jesus was saying, if you only knew the peace that I could bring, if you only knew this day. But see, the problem was they didn't recognize it this day. It says you did not recognize the coming, the time of his coming. You didn't recognize what God was coming to you for, what he was trying to say. In that passage, it's a interesting phrase. In fact, as you study out that phrase, you did not recognize. You'll see that in different versions, they have different things. King James says, thou knewest not the time of my visitation. One says, you have rejected the opportunity of God that has been offered to you. Philip says, you did not know when God himself was visiting you. One says, you did not recognize God's moment when it came. The message says, you did not recognize and welcome God's personal visit. You did not know. And it is hard to, at times to translate because it comes from the word episcopus, which is where the Episcopalian get their name of their church. And it means to care for, that he came to care for, to relieve the burden of. And you did not recognize the purpose by which Christ came. You didn't recognize why Christ had come within that process. You missed it. The visit was meant to redeem. The visit was meant to give life. The visit was meant to change your life. And yet you missed it. And in the same way, I think, as we, though we are not sitting at Palm Sunday with him, crying over Jerusalem, I think we're sitting here in Lathrop this morning, and I wonder if there's times that you need to know, and I need to know right now, the peace that God wants to bring to you. If you have a troubled heart, God has the peace that surpasses all human understanding. And if there's challenges in your heart, I wonder if there's time, if you had only known the peace, if you'd only known what peace he offers you today. But then I wonder as well, are you sitting here today, not as they were in Jerusalem, but as you're sitting here today, do you recognize that God wants to visit you this moment, right now? You're not here by mistake. You are here by design. And in the vacuum of your heart, you may say, I have a need, and man, I wish people would know. God does know. God knows your heart. God knows what you need. God knows within that process. To those loving the world, some of you here love the world. Whether you're a believer or not, you love the world. The things of the world attract you. The things of the world have drawn you. But those, especially in the world who are outside the church religion, as a religious institution, those who are outside the church, they will look, and they will look at the church, and they will look at us. To those who love this world, to those who live by the things of this world, to those who think the things of this world are going to give them peace, to those who think the things of this world are going to satisfy them, the world looks at us in the church, the religious group, and they think, oh, you guys are too strict. It's too strict. It's too limiting. It's too stifling. You want to tell me I can't do this or can't do that? It's just, and the world looks at those who are of a religious, mind you, religious group, and say, you're just, you know, you guys are all fuds. You just, you know, you all live in this little box, and you just try to limit my fun and limit my life, and you're just really too fickle, and you just really cramp my style. And that's one way. That's the world's view. But to those of us, even some of us, some of you here in the religion, not relationship, but as you look at it as a religion, as you look at church as a system, as a religious institution, some people in the church will even look at the church and will look at us and say, you know what? It's too liberal. You're too liberal. You need more law. You need more punishment. You need more, you don't give grace. You better come down and say, boy, if somebody screws up, you better get them fast. You better hit them hard. And we look at all that, we say the world, in the world they say, well, you're too strict. And in the church we say, well, some people aren't strict enough. We need to come, and yet within all of that is grace. And that's where grace comes. Because they had the religious system down. As Jesus was going into Jerusalem, into the temple and all that, they had the religious, they had hundreds of laws, hundreds that you had to obey, hundreds of them. And boy, if you failed in one, they had another one to punish that one. They had the religious system down. And people look at a religious system like we may represent and say, I don't want to be a part of that. Guess what? Nor do I. But from the outside of the world, they look and say, you're too, and we say, no, you need to know the grace of God. And I wonder today if you have that issue, if you're here, if you had only known the peace that God can bring you, truly know his peace, the peace that this world will never, the greatest moment of peace that this world can afford you will never compare to the peace that only God can bring in your heart. And the issue of you, do you recognize today, do you come with an expectation and a perception of saying, man, I want God to speak to me right now. I'm not here. It's not here for my wife. I'm not here for my husband. I'm not here for my kids. God has me here for me. Today, to listen to me, to hear my heart, and for me to hear God's heart. But I wonder why people missed it. I wonder why when he said, if you'd only known the peace, he's riding in on the colt and they're laying the palm branches, and he says, you don't recognize who I am, do you? Oh, you think you do, but you really don't. You really don't know who I am. You just don't recognize God's visiting you. And I wonder why people miss it today. I think one of the reasons they miss it is because people have the wrong perception of how things should be. The people there had the wrong perception of how things should be. See, they looked for the Messiah. It had been prophesied that the Messiah would come. But they weren't looking for a humble servant riding in on a colt. They were looking for the hero, man. They were looking for the superhero. They were looking for the guy to come in with a sword and lightning and take the Romans out, knock them out, and put the Jews and establish them in a hierarchy within the process of, oh boy, here's a Jewish leader, and now we're done. See, they had the wrong perception of who they were looking for. They had the wrong perception of what things should be, of how things should be. They had this idea that he'll be a revolutionary, that he's going to save us, that we're going to be now, instead of us being in bondage, we're going to be ruling. But today, sometimes I think we may not think that God, the Messiah, because he's already come, is going to come, but we have the wrong perception of God. You may have a wrong perception of God today. You may not recognize God's visitation because you have a wrong perception of who God is. Some people say, oh man, I want to know, if God can make me rich, I'd follow God. We have a wrong perception that God says, well, you know what? God failed me. How did he fail you? Because my kid got sick. Or I lost my spouse, or I have pain that I deal with, or the death of a dream, or I lost my business, or I had a divorce. Therefore, God can't be God, because God has to always be good to me. Life should be easy. Take away my pain. Make me perfect. Scratch that. God, I am perfect. Can you work on somebody else? I mean, the reality is that sometimes we have a wrong perception and expectation of who God is. And as I said in the first service, there are some of you here. There were those, especially in the first service, you could feel it. It was palpable that had great need for God, and I drew some of them out in the service. And I told them, God, the promise is your life is difficult. Your life is hard right now. It may seem like life has gone to hell in a handbasket, and you're sitting there saying, okay, God, I've had enough. And promise never was that life would be easy, that it would be fair. You've heard me say it. But there is the promise that God is going to be with you in your darkest moments. In the deepest, darkest night of the soul, God says he's going to be with you. He will never leave you. Romans 8 says nothing's going to separate you from the love of God. So when you lose those that you love, when you see death around you, when you see those things, the death of a dream, perhaps it's a vocation, perhaps it's a business, when you see things that hurt you with your kids, when your heart's been broken, whatever it may be, we look and we say, well, God shouldn't have done that, so therefore I'm going to turn my back on God, and we can't let the bitterness go. And yet many times we come and we have the same problem. We say, God, we just have a wrong perception of the way things should be. I think they missed it as well, though. I don't think they recognized the visitation of the Lord because they are hesitant to change. They had a perception that this is the way he was going to come. This is who he was going to be. This is how it would happen. And they were hesitant to change. And it's kind of like, don't mess it. Don't mess it up. Don't mess with my system. Don't mess with my box. And change can be messy, and most people don't like change. Most people just hate change. We like our little structure, don't we? We like our little box. We like being comfortable within that box. We like to control the elements that are in the box. And when the box changes, all of a sudden we say, oh, crap. You may not say that. I do. You know. We say the box changes, and I'll say, change. And we just don't like changes. So therefore, we really don't recognize, nor will we see God's visits. Because we know that if God visits us, when God reaches down and touches us, it will, not maybe, it will create change. And the people look at the religious institution and they have all the faults in the world, and I would agree. But when we look at a relationship that God wants to have with you, not about a church, but a relationship with you, he gave his life away. His grace is what broke our chains. It mends our hearts. It's not about the religious institution. They had that down. They didn't have a personal relationship with a God who knew they were imperfect, who said, I'm going to give you the righteousness to make you see as perfect. God sees you as perfect. And yet some people just hate change in any form. What? They added too much ketchup on my burger? I can't eat that. As simple to complex, we hate change. Change can be messy. Our lives are messy. Your life is messy. God understands that. A messy life. And that change, as you come to know Christ, if you today say, I have a personal relationship with Christ, then you have automatically signed on for change. Automatically. Every moment should be changeable within our lives to be conformed to the image of Christ. Every moment. That we will not be the same tomorrow as we were today. That we won't be the same in 2 days. That God does a change in our life. But I think the other reason, I think, especially in today's economy, why people sometimes miss it, that they miss God visiting their life, not only do they have the wrong perception of God, they just want to live for self. Not only do they see the issue that I don't want to change, I like my life, but I think sometimes it's just the fact that we're too busy. We're not listening. We're too busy laying the palm branches down. We're too busy singing, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest, instead of just listening to what Hosanna the Messiah may have to say. Interesting, as Pastor Ben read early in the service, that many, they had seen all these miracles that he had performed, and that's why they were doing these things, because of what he had done, not because of who he was. And sometimes we come with our expectations that we want to see God because what he can do for us, instead of who God is in us. Are you listening? Have you gotten so busy in life that you just can't hear God? Going from here to there, too busy. I think sometimes we don't recognize God's visitation upon us because we are just too busy. Why do I believe in the gathered community of the church that we talk about? Because sometimes in your week, this hour is the only time you come that we can stop long enough to focus and worship and listen to the voice of God, not me, but to the voice of God in your life. If you're here today and you say, I need that peace, oh, I hope you know that he's the only one who can bring that peace to your life. And I pray today that all of us will have that issue of saying, God, I don't want to miss your visitation upon me today. I want you to visit with me today. I don't want to miss it. I want to recognize that you are here. I want to recognize you in my life. And Palm Sunday is going in not too long from Palm Sunday. Acts chapter 2, the Spirit of God descends and the church begins to reach people. But today if you're here and you say, I'm looking for that peace, man, I'm looking for it. He's the only answer. If you're here and you're a believer, you know the Lord is your Savior, don't miss the visitation that he has on a daily basis with us in his Spirit to commune with us, to change us, to conform us to the image of his Son. Let's pray. You may be here this morning. You may say, oh, I wish they only knew the hurt of my heart. God does. I only wish you knew the bitterness that I have. God does. Oh, I only wish you knew the addiction that I have. God does. The struggles that I have. God does. The battles that I fight. God does. He does. Don't miss his visitation with you right now. In this place, in this moment. Don't miss your time with him. He wants to meet your heart and your need right now. It will create change. And you can, in just a moment, when we close, put all this behind and say, okay, I'm not going to do that. That was great, God, for that moment, but I'm going to go back out. I'm going to get busy. I don't want to change my box in my life. And then you will never know the peace that only he can bring. Father, I pray this morning, I am thankful that we come unworthy. None of us are worthy. But because of the Lord Jesus, because we can trust in him, know him as our Savior, you make us worthy. And that's the only worthiness we really have. So I pray this morning, though it's been a different morning, the message created within minutes. God, I pray you would help us not to miss it. That God, I feel that obviously when you impress upon me that hard to change a message, God, there's got to be a reason for that. So there's people here who need to know your peace this morning. May they open their heart. Help us to see that you want to visit with us. You want to commune with us. You want us to be listening to you. And I pray that you would meet the need of every heart here in your Spirit. Help us to stop and to listen and to pay attention. And God, make great change take place in our lives. Thank you for this time. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.